Douglas Bruce loves the Constitution of the United States of America. In fact, he carries a little pocket version of it everywhere, signed by Clarence Thomas. He finds a way to work the Constitution into just about every conversation.
The Constitution says in Article 28, and Article 6 says, I'm going to quote it verbatim, and that's guaranteed in Article 1 as a federal constitutional right.
He did this the first time I met him, and he even got choked up talking about the Founding Fathers.
The part of the Constitution Bruce loves the most is the Bill of Rights. That's the section about freedom of speech, freedom of religion, right to a speedy trial. And Bruce likes it because to him, it is the original limit on government. It even begins with the words,
Congress shall make no law.
Bruce lives in Colorado Springs. He's a former lawyer, and he owns a bunch of real estate. And he starts thinking hard about the Bill of Rights. The drafters of the Constitution were pretty smart guys, but there is at least one limit on government that they didn't put in there.
They forgot to limit the right of government to levy taxes on us, on the people.
You can't say you're free if the government can take away everything you have without your permission.
Douglas Bruce decided he was going to fix this little oversight. He wrote up a sequel to the Constitution. He called it the Taxpayer's Bill of Rights, TABOR for short.
And it said just like the people have a freedom of assembly, right to a trial by jury, they should have a right to vote on their own taxes.
Every time a government raises your taxes, they should have to ask your permission first.
It was radical. It's an incredibly difficult to pull off concept. And then the state of Colorado actually passed it. Hello and welcome to Planet Money. I'm Robert Smith.
And I'm Rachel Estabrook from Colorado Public Radio.
Rachel and her co-reporters at CPR, Nathaniel Miner and Ben Marcus, have just finished a podcast series called The Taxman.
It's about how a man who held no political office, just an obsessed outsider, ended up changing the very relationship between the citizens of a state and their government.
Today on the show, what happens when you take away the politician's main power, the power to raise taxes?
It ended up putting Colorado on the brink of disaster. And for Douglas Bruce, it cost him his reputation and eventually his freedom.
I'm sure that someday, sooner or later, they're going to figure out some way to put me in jail. I have no doubt about that.
And he was right.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Fundrise, an award-winning, first-of-its-kind real estate investment platform. In 2012, Fundrise created the first simple, low-cost way to invest in real estate private equity. Now you can unlock a world of investing that used to be reserved for only the most sophisticated investors. Learn more and get your first 6 months of advisory fees waived by visiting fundrise.com/NPR.
Douglas Bruce sat down at his kitchen table in Colorado Springs in the 1980s, old-fashioned typewriter sitting right in front of him, and he banged out his version of this brand new law, the Taxpayer's Bill of Rights.
At the time, Bruce had never served in government in any way, but he was something of a legal savant. And he wrote what looked like a very simple law. It said that whenever the state or a local government in Colorado wants more money, wants to increase tax rates, it has to put the question on the ballot.
Increase taxes for roads? The voters get to decide. You want better schools? Well, that's your call. It's on the ballot.
So Bruce submitted this as a citizen initiative on Colorado's ballot in 1988. Bruce thought it was a slam dunk. People hate taxes, and this measure would inevitably keep taxes down. What's not to love?
And when the citizens took a look at this Taxpayer's Bill of Rights, they voted against it. And Douglas Bruce seemed amazed. On election night, he blamed the voters. Basically said, listen, you don't know what's good for you.
And when the tax increases come, don't bother calling me for a reaction. I'll give you your sound bite right now. Listen carefully. I told you so.
For a lot of people, this would have been the bitter end of the tax revolution in Colorado. But Douglas Bruce is not someone who gives up. And he realized something about people and taxes. Everyone gripes about taxes. But when push comes to shove, people don't want to have their parks and their libraries closed down. And so at their core, they're sort of afraid to limit government, afraid to limit taxes.
Douglas Bruce needed to sell this thing differently.
I said, well, let's change the bumper sticker. instead of limit taxes, we're going to say vote on taxes.
Bruce essentially rebranded the idea of starving a government as a fight for freedom.
And that is not an exaggeration. He made these little pink index cards and passed them out on the street. One guy in the campaign, Fred Holden, he still has one.
What We Believe by Douglas Bruce.
We believe in limited taxes, not unlimited government.
We believe in the supreme power of the people, not the special privilege of the politicians.
We believe in democracy, not bureaucracy. We believe in individual responsibility, not collective guilt.
It's time to send the politician a message they won't forget. It's time to stand up for America.
It felt big. It felt like something the founding fathers would write. Douglas Bruce was here attacking the very foundation of a representative democracy, that we trust the people we vote for to represent us and to figure out the right amount of taxes.
Which was not okay with everyone. I mean, Colorado's governor at the time, Roy Romer, is a Democrat. He used an analogy where he called Bruce a terrorist, throwing a bomb into the machinery of government.
I saw this man who had a flame in his eye. He was passionate. He was over the top, really, I thought. And that's what would cause a terrorist comment.
Bruce has a weird sense of humor, though. So this is what he did after the governor's comment.
So it was a point of ridiculing him. I got a business card that said, Douglas E. Bruce, terrorist.
Like, he handed out a business card that said he was a terrorist.
It is amazing. And this is 1992, and I feel like Bruce was tapping into something that has obviously become more frequent today, but was a little more rare back then. And that was this idea that you can mock and belittle your political opponents, and people will eat it up.
People couldn't take their eyes off of him. He was always doing something out of the ordinary, let's say. Like this one time he had a confrontation with Colorado's Secretary of State, Natalie Meyer. She got to approve Tabor for the ballot. So she was important here. And she had said that some of the signatures Bruce's side had collected to get it on the ballot were not valid. So he held a press conference in Denver just down the hall from the Secretary of State's office. And the videotape, to this day, it's amazing.
The woman has obviously a mental deficiency.
I have a
You heard me. You heard me. I thought you were leaving.
At this point, Meyer's walking up the hallway towards Bruce and the reporters, and the TV camera pivots to her, and she is furious.
A woman has obviously a what?
Now, as I was saying.
A mental something. Doug, I think maybe you've gone a little bit ballistic. I think you need to examine whether your cause that you are saying you represent is being hurt by your verbiage, and you can't really continue this, can you, without being in court?
I feel like the Secretary of State, you know, really stood up to Douglas Bruce here and came off, you know, looking pretty good in this confrontation, but legally she didn't win it.
Yeah, she backed off and the signatures were approved.
So coming up to the election of 1992, Tabor had its big ideas about freedom, the little pink index cards, and it had the attention-getting antics of Douglas Bruce, which was getting him a lot of press. And then it got this lucky little break from national politics.
Remember, it's 1992, so you've got the incumbent George H.W. Bush running against Bill Clinton and an independent in the race from Texas.
You got to take away Congress's right to raise taxes. Now, there's a radical idea.
Ross Perot!
Ross Perot. He was a populist in a campaign that was all about the rough economy. He said voters alone should have the ability to raise taxes. Now, that sounds kind of familiar in Colorado, right? It's the same message as Douglas Bruce. But whereas Bruce was screaming it, Ross Perot made the idea seem like down-home logic that your pappy might tell you on the front porch.
These boys are drinking too much. You got to take the bottle away from them for a while at least. Now, if they need more money, just put it on the ballot and let the owners of the country sign off.
Now, Perot is just talking theoretically on the national level, but in Colorado, this was now a real option on the ballot. And Perot took out a lot of ads nationally, and his words were echoing in voters' ears as they went to vote.
On election night, the polls for Tabor were really tight. Neither side was sure what would happen. Douglas Bruce got to the party in downtown Denver at the Embassy Suites around 8:30.
So when I got there, people started applauding. And I hadn't heard the results on the radio, and they said, you know, it's now, we're at 49%.
Rachel, this is the first time I've heard Douglas Bruce express emotion.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have kids. He doesn't have a family. He's not married. Like, this is his baby.
As the night went on, the more conservative parts of the state added their results, and it was clear. Tabor won. The taxpayer's Bill of Rights was now law in Colorado.
And Douglas Bruce still remembers the first words of his victory speech.
The liars lost.
The liars lost.
The people won.
The people won. Crowd went wild.
We asked him what it felt like.
Relief. Vindication. It was, if I die tomorrow, they can't take it away from me.
I am a crazy man.
Terrorist.
I'm crazy about my country. I'm crazy enough to believe all those things we were told in school about the consent of the governed. We the people.
People in this hotel ballroom are rapt. All eyes on Douglas Bruce.
We have taken away their crowbar, and for once, it is the politicians who got nailed.
All of a sudden, every elected official in Colorado had to live by Bruce's rules. The taxpayer's Bill of Rights was now part of the state constitution.
And despite politicians' worst fears, the sky did not fall. I mean, the economy boomed during the Clinton years. And during good years, more tax money flows in without ever having to raise taxes.
Bruce's law said that some of it had to be sent back to taxpayers. Like, the state of Colorado actually had to send refund checks to everyone in the state. Even the TV reporters at the time seemed pretty gleeful.
How would you like $54?
Great.
What would you do with it?
Buy some books.
In part, because Colorado's economy is booming, the state treasury is overflowing with money. Your money. And it's coming back to you.
This was sort of Douglas Bruce's dream, right? Everything seemed sweet with the taxpayer's Bill of Rights.
Until April 14th, 2000.
After what they are already calling Black Friday, they
when
are
the dot-com bubble burst, everything came crashing down, not just in Colorado, but across the country.
It was the worst single-day point loss ever for both exchanges.
Colorado went into a recession. Tax revenues plunged. And the state was about to discover how the taxpayer's Bill of Rights was really designed to work. After the break.
Support for Planet Money and the following message come from TD Ameritrade. Like the economy, investing can seem complicated until it's explained in simpler terms. That's how TD Ameritrade approaches investing, by learning more about you and your goals before crafting a plan. It's that simple. To schedule a complimentary goal planning session today, visit tdameritrade.com/podcast.
Here's how it's supposed to work. Tax revenues for a state go up and down depending on the economy. When a state's having a good year, it brings in more money and it can spend it. During a recession, the state brings in less money and cuts services. It goes up and down. But the taxpayer's Bill of Rights is a sort of one-way street.
In Colorado, if tax revenues go down one year, that becomes a new baseline for the state. So when the recession is over and more money starts to come into Colorado, the state is not allowed to keep it.
So in other words, Colorado's government shrunk during the recession, and now it was locked in the shrunken state. Douglas Bruce had thought of everything. He said it was all by design.
There are no unintended consequences. None. Zip. Zero. I knew what I was doing, and I don't regret anything that's in there. I wish I could have put in more, but I had to make a calculated decision as about what would get 51% of the vote.
Now, Colorado could always ask voters to increase taxes, but even that had been anticipated by Douglas Bruce. You couldn't just go to voters and say, hey, everyone, we really need some new roads. Don't you want new roads? Vote for new roads. No, you actually have to start the ballot measure with these precise words. Shall taxes be increased by X millions of dollars?
Or billions. I mean, Douglas Bruce knew that that kind of language does not encourage people to vote yes. After the 2001 recession, Colorado was stuck. Chris Castilian was working in the Colorado governor's office, and he says they were looking at having to slash higher education and health care.
Our budget director at the time used to always come in and say, you know, we're at the point of basically kicking old people out of nursing homes. And so what do you want to do in order for us to meet the requirements of what Tabor is imposing on us?
So they decided they had to change Tabor, the taxpayer's Bill of Rights. They had to go back to voters who passed it and essentially beg for them to loosen some of the rules.
Douglas Bruce, of course, was like, wait a minute. You can't just go and find some workaround for freedom.
But Colorado voters disagreed. They voted to loosen some of the restrictions that the taxpayer's Bill of Rights had put in. It was still in effect, but the state wouldn't have to kick old people out of nursing homes.
Douglas Bruce was furious. And over the next few years, he had all these ideas for new anti-tax measures. But by this time, people were starting to tire of Douglas Bruce.
I was radioactive in certain circles. You know, people say, oh, I hate Doug Bruce. I love Tabor, but I hate Doug Bruce.
Douglas Bruce had one last plan for a comeback. He got himself temporarily appointed to a seat in the Colorado State Legislature. He was going to take this anti-tax fight all the way to the state capitol and inside.
But Bruce is not a man who's built for politics. On one of his first days in office at the state capitol, during the morning prayer, a bunch of photographers were gathered around him taking pictures, like they're kneeling at his feet. And Bruce pushes one of them with his foot, like he knocks
kicks
the camera out of his hand.
He kicks the photographer.
Bruce still maintains it was more of a nudge than a kick.
Obviously, this did not go over well.
Bruce isn't just a sideshow. He may be a freak show, self-righteous and arrogant.
The Colorado House calls a vote to censure him. And on the House floor, Douglas Bruce gives this rambling defense of himself.
One of my favorite movies from 1939 is called Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. I think many of you have seen it.
Even the other Republicans didn't buy it.
Representative Bruce, you're not Jimmy Stewart. This is not a 1939 movie. This is today. Your actions were wrong.
The censure vote was 62-1.
Ouch.
Douglas Bruce became the first and so far only member of the state legislature to be censured, something he says to this day that he is not embarrassed about.
The only person in 140 years.
Does that make you proud at all?
Yes.
Really?
Of course. I considered it a badge of honor because these people were so saturated with corruption that they would do that. Both parties.
Both parties, Republicans and Democrats. And eventually the Republicans ditched him. They picked somebody else in the next primary. And like that, he was out of the legislature.
Things got worse for Douglas Bruce. Remember that pocket constitution that he always carries with him?
Article 6 says, I'm going to quote it verbatim, and that's guaranteed in Article 1.
Bruce had set up a charity to, among other things, make sure that high school seniors had their very own tiny pocket-sized editions of the Constitution that they could carry with them to class. According to the state of Colorado, Bruce was using this charity to avoid paying taxes.
In 2011, Colorado charged the most famous tax cutter in state history with tax evasion.
I ridiculed the government's theory, calling it felony philanthropy. I've still got 40,000 copies of pocket constitutions in my garage that I've been interrupted in distributing.
One Friday afternoon, Bruce went to the post office in his hometown, Colorado Springs. As he was leaving, officers came up and arrested him.
Bruce talked with a reporter in the courthouse on the day of his arraignment.
You said they're targeting you. Do you think they're targeting you as an individual?
Of course.
But also, do you think they're targeting people like you with your activism?
There is nobody like me. What kind of a question is that?
This probably won't surprise you, but Douglas Bruce used his trial to sort of rail against the system, to say everyone was out to get him. But it backfired. The jury convicted Douglas Bruce. Douglas Bruce ended up in the Delta Correctional Center in western Colorado, state prison.
While Bruce is locked up, the state continued to try to chip away at the taxpayer's Bill of Rights. There's even a name for this. It's called de-Brucing.
De-Brucing. One of the things that the state did was to raise fees instead of taxes. You don't need a vote to raise a fee under Tabor.
But the taxpayer's Bill of Rights is still in effect, and it has real impacts. Funding for Colorado schools is among the lowest in the country, despite a booming economy here. And Colorado has some of the worst roads in the country.
In July of 2016, Douglas Bruce went to the parole board and asked to be let out of prison.
I accept responsibility for all my actions. I deeply regret them. It will never happen.
He said,
again.
I accept responsibility for all my actions. I deeply regret them. It will never happen again.
Those are true statements. That doesn't mean that I did anything wrong. Doesn't
so
mean
what do you
that
regret?
I regret the fact that they sent me to prison. Any intelligent person would regret that.
Mr. Bruce, I read your statement. I've heard your statements. I've reviewed your file. You're doing well. I feel very good about the fact that we will never see you again. That concludes this hearing. Good luck to you, sir.
Douglas Bruce went back to his home in Colorado Springs. He doesn't show up at the state capitol much anymore. He doesn't have any big tax limit measures, but he does file lawsuits against local governments in particular that he thinks are violating the taxpayer's Bill of Rights. He's still fighting to defend this law.
And in fact, the voters of Colorado, they changed the rules for putting initiatives on the ballot. They made sure that something big like the taxpayer's Bill of Rights could never again be passed in Colorado.
Douglas Bruce hasn't totally gone away, though. I mean, you can still see him at his hometown city council hearings whenever anything to do with Tabor comes up.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the regular meeting of Congress.
He's that guy at city council meetings waiting to speak to rows of chairs that are mostly empty.
My name is Douglas Bruce. I've lived here for over 30 years. And what this council did with one dissenting vote last April 20th was probably the most flagrant violation of law that I've seen in my 30 years here, and that's saying something.
A flagrant violation of his law, of Tabor, the taxpayer's Bill of Rights. He handed out copies of it to every council member in size 32 font.
Let us know what you thought of today's show. You can email us, planetmoney@npr.org, or you can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Special thanks today to Rachel's co-reporters at Colorado Public Radio, Nathaniel Miner and Ben Marcus. If you download their podcast series called The Taxman, you can hear more amazing stories of Douglas Bruce and of the people who tried to stop him. There's some great tales in there we didn't get a chance to put into the show.
Thanks also to Ramtin Arablouei for his mixing and his brilliant original music in the Taxman series.
The Planet Money version was produced by Nick Fountain. Our senior producer is Alex Goldmark, and our editor is Bryant Erstadt. And now that you're finished listening to our show and going to listen to The Taxman from Colorado Public Radio, may we suggest The Indicator? In fact, they're doing a show today on that little Google selfie thing that compares your face to famous works of art and why some states have banned it. That's The Indicator. You can find it on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Robert Smith.
And I'm Rachel Estabrook. Thanks for listening.